What is man that God is mindful of man? What are we? I mean, we're no better than, we're like insects compared to God. Why would he pay any attention to us? We're made in his image, you say. Well, still, we're not much better than beasts. I mean, science has no problem throwing us in with the beasts. And man has no problem throwing himself in with the beasts by his behavior. Us made him a little lower than the angels. God has made man lower than the angels. But also specifically, his son, crowning him with glory and honor, setting him over the works of thy hands. Put all things under his feet. You know, Christ will have all things put under his feet. The world to come. And that he had put all under subjection. He left nothing that is not under subjection. But we see not yet all things put under him. We don't see everything put under him. And to me, this harkens back to the issue of our own salvation. Christ has delivered us from all sin, but we do not yet see ourselves delivered from all sin. But that does not mean we ought to doubt it, or to stop seeking it, or to begin expecting some lesser outcome. No, let us put on Christ and seek glory and virtue, honor and power in the Holy Spirit, to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, right? And run the race with patience. We do not yet see all things put under him. I see a lot of that, where it's like, it promises everything's put under him. But we don't see it yet. There's a lot of stuff in the scripture like that, where God says, this is how it's going to be, but we don't see it like that yet. Because it's a promise of yet to come. But in that he has promised it, it is sure. We do not see everything put under him, but we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Like I said, all those promises up there are not just to Christ, but to us, as his fellow heirs. All things are going to be put under subjection to us, with him. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. You know, he took not on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, Philippians. He was crowned with glory and honor. By the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. He tasted death. There's an interesting statement the Lord makes. He says, whoever believes on me, you know, we'll never see death. But Jesus tasted death. And the Pharisees came back at him saying, now you said that you will never taste death. But he didn't say that. He said, see death. There's two things. And it goes very similar to, it says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. 1 John 3. He says that if you sin, you have not seen God, you do not know God. When we sin, we are demonstrating that we don't see him, we don't know him. And to see death would be to truly see death. Meaning, because death, I'll tell you what, I oftentimes talk death is like sleep. It is like when you go to sleep and it's all black and there's nothing there. It's like that. But when you sleep, you wake up again. So that is not truly seeing what death is like. So Christ, when he died, he didn't really experience death. Because death, true death, to truly see death and to know death and understand death, is when you die and you don't get up again. When you die and you remain dead, now you are seeing death. Christ only tasted death. And those who believe on him will taste death, but they shall never see it. You will never see death. Because as I believe, you know, when you sleep in the night and you have dreams, it prolongs the evening. But in death there is no dream, because it says, when he dies, his thoughts perish. Psalm, in the late Psalms. Forgot the exact number. It says, in that day his thoughts perish. Just look up thoughts perish in a concordance. When they die, their thoughts perish, so there are no dreams. So if you are a follower of his, when you die, it will be like a night of sleep where you dreamed not at all. And so you don't, since your thoughts are gone while you're dead, you do not perceive the passage of time. And so the resurrection comes as an instantaneous jolt. Let's say you died in 1000 BC. Well, when the resurrection hits, you are going to be, it's going to be like you were instantly transported to the future, to the coming of Christ, when he calls forth the dead. And you say, well, where do you get this? I get this from the idea that when you die, you have no thoughts, and that the we never see death. So we only taste it. And that, you know, and, well, why isn't sleep a taste of death? Well, sleep is not a taste of death, because you sleep easy. But death can be a painful experience. And I'm quite sure that dying and sleeping are not exactly the same. But after you experience death, the moment of death, while you are dead, it is much like being unconscious. It is unconsciousness. I mean, that's what death is. Death is unconsciousness and the cessation of biological functions. You don't have consciousness in death. And he tasted death that we may never have to see it. He didn't have to taste death. He didn't have to get anywhere near death, but he tasted it. So I hope I made that clear, that the idea of tasting death is that you die, but for a moment. But to truly see death, you have to stay dead. Now you know what death is. Stay dead. Now you're seeing death. If a man keep my word, he shall never see death. Verse 10 says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory.